want to do it really professionally, you need probably 200,000 a year.
Definitely.
Welcome to the Tennis Pulse. Today with me and our tennis expert, Charlie Steep, we have the pleasure of having Anil Yüksel, which was a professional tennis player and transitioned into a coach, because we want to talk about the life of tennis players. Anil, tell us a little bit about your tennis history.
I started playing at the age of five, thanks to my cousin. He started to play tennis, and I just followed him. I really loved it at the young age. I was playing football as well, so that was combining them two. I played until the age of 10, and then we started to play a little bit competition after 12, and but only regional, of course, no tournaments outside the country. I was born and raised in Holland, by the way, and I started to play really, really well, started competing here and there in the country, national matches, and I started to win until the age of 14, where I had to really decide a bit if I really want to push more. I mean, my coach wanted to push me more to follow this path a bit, and but at that young age, it's tough to decide. Is you have to do the school, and to do those both is not easy. So I quit football really early at the age of 14, and I decided to go for tennis because I really like the sport that you're alone. It's not a team sport, and I find that a bit more. That it fits my character a bit more. And so, because, I mean, if you play alone, you lose, you know. It's your fault. It's not a team sport. So there's no excuses as well, you know.
Same
so.
With me, by the way.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same.
Similar
start. Until then, a similar start. I played a lot of soccer, and then I had to decide when I was 14, both was not possible anymore. Mm-hmm. Decide what I like more. And I like soccer. I like the team, yes, but I also like that I'm only responsible for myself.
No, I mean, my tennis coach also liked that I played football because it helped a lot with the foot coordination. So that was a really big plus. And when I became under 16, I was in the Dutch national ranking, like high up. So the federation helped us also to go for academies. At that time, was really like famous to go to academies. I stayed 2 years in Burguera,
Barcelona.
Yeah, exactly. Right now it's closed, I think. They closed the academy, but was a huge step for me. It was not easy.
They contributed.
Yeah.
They supported.
They supported also my family because it was expensive in those times also. But what was really tough was the language. I mean, nobody spoke English, so, and you're alone. I was lucky to have my cousin first year with me who started the tennis, so was
you were also doing school with the academy, right? Studying in Spanish.
Yeah. So the first year we had to do it in English, and then the second year obviously we had to switch up to Spanish because they were really pushing you for it. We had some really good coaches. Sergi was also really involved at that time. Also, I used to practice a lot with Garbiñe Muguruza, mm-hmm. and but she was really also small. But there already also with her, many people knew that she would be the big star, obviously. But after 2 years, I went back to Holland, so I had to finish my school there until 18, and then I had to really make the big decision if I wanted to do university, college. But I had my first ATP points back when I was 17, 18. So
that's good.
I thought, okay, I wanted to push and try at least the first 2 years. And so I have two, citizenship. So one Turkish and one Dutch. And when I turned 18, we were really lucky that the Turkish Federation, they started to make many 15K tournaments, futures. So
they have many tournaments.
Yeah, like every week, the whole year. So I really wanted to push myself for this, and I chose that path to go, at least try first 2 years. Many losses in the first 2 years. It was not easy to break through because there were not many tournaments around. So all those good players come to those hotels. It's all inclusive. You know, I have guys who are 200 and we couldn't even pass the quali. So first 2 years was a bit really mentally like struggling. same place all the time. And but I was lucky enough to get also a good sponsorship from the Turkish Federation. So I had to only switch up my nationality because I was playing for Holland. So I switched up to the Turkish citizenship, but it took 2 years or 3 years, something to change it, with the rules. I don't know exactly, but then I started to win the third year a bit more, get more through the qualies, and then you start to feel a bit more comfortable in those kind of tournaments, big tournaments, because I didn't play juniors, not many junior tournaments, under 18. So when you don't have that experience going through grade 5, 3, 2, you still feel a lot of missing. You're not comfortable during the matches, and because you're playing straight up 200, 300 ATP players, you know? So it's a big switch up from 18 to the men's tennis.
Plus, if you didn't have the full international experience as a junior, that's very important because... Right. You know, if you are starting with 14 playing international tournaments already, you're competing with the world already, and you know where you stand a little bit. If you don't do this and then move into the men's tennis, you know, or then it's a big step. I agree.
And we were also lucky at when I came 22, our federation really started to invest in Turkish tennis. And we got the names of as a coach for 2 years, Dominic Hrbati. Mm-hmm. Maybe you know.
I played with him.
Yeah, you played with him. I checked.
Very nice guy. Account.
Yeah, really, like he's a real machine.
Yeah.
And they created a group of 10 players, Turkish tennis players, and we had two more coaches with him that were supporting him. But he really made me feel like understand tennis, the game, a bit more. And that through him, really, it opened my eyes how much sacrifice I had to make. I always thought I was practicing a lot, but it's not just the practice part, also tactical. And then it started getting also physical more. Everybody's getting stronger. Every year, I felt like every 2 years, the tennis is evolving. Somebody's always adding something new. So it was a huge step up from the federation to get him to us. And slowly, I started to get into semis, and then the finals came, and then you start believing, you know, when you get into the top 1,000, and then you think, okay, I'm getting more comfortable with these tournaments, and they helped me really, really a lot. So thanks to Dominic Hrbati again. I hope he watches this. So I climbed up to the ranking of the top 500, and then usually
at what age?
24, I really started to break through. So takes a lot of years, a lot of years. Usually many people, they give up at 18, 19 because the parents also think, okay, we have to decide either college.
Yeah.
And usually then you have all those, also we have many good talented players, friends that I know who could have been much better than me, but they go for that college because the parents push them to that side, you know? So it's not an easy decision to make. You have to really, really invest in yourself. You need... For sure, sponsors, because it's a lonely sport. I've struggled, especially the first 3-4 years. You're away from your parents. I was in Turkey, my own country, but still, I was born and raised in Holland, you know, so you feel home, you don't feel home, so it can be really difficult. After Dominic, we had only contract with him 2 years, so... When he left, we started to struggle again a bit because I really, like, I feel like I owe it to him a bit. He opened my eyes really in tennis. And then we were allowed a bit to only play in Turkey because they were sponsoring.
Yeah.
So it was more like, guys, why you go abroad when we have tournaments here? But then I feel like, you know, when you play 15Ks, 25, it's not enough to climb. I mean, you can play them week in, week out, but then, and you're always in the same spot, you know? I mean, the same courts.
You have to make experience.
You get crazy. Abroad, you get crazy. If you're in Antalya, let's say 3-4 weeks, I mean, you can forget your own name as well. Like, you same food, same players, you know, it's tough. And I feel like if I we were a bit more allowed to play abroad, I think that would have helped our game as well. Maybe change our vision a bit, you know? So... but still, we were lucky enough to play that they supported us. You know, it's not easy to fix all this together. You know, to have the tournaments you have now as well in Tunisia, the same Egypt, you have
Italy, you have a lot.
But it's tough to get through.
This time of a lot of sacrifices, like when did you decide to transition and to become
to
a coaching. Coach?
Yeah, good question. At 27, I was still ranked like 400 and I couldn't really push through the challengers. And then you start to get also questions also from the family. And also at the age of 26, 27, I met my wife. And then, of course, you started about like settling, you know, and then it really messes you up a bit in the first place. You start to panic a bit, you know, but I was really fortunate enough and my wife really helped me also to transition much easier to coaching. And because I always was as a tennis player, you know, also, and you're traveling a lot. So you're
not
always
time alone.
You're not always in the same spot. You don't spend so much time with your family. And when I got that feeling from her, it was much easier to transition, you know, to spend time with the family. I felt like, okay, this is what I was also missing, you know. So I think it's also really important to, when you have a tennis career, to also spend time with the family, you know, that relaxes your mind also, you know, because I feel like you're always thinking to climb up the ladder, the rankings. You're missing out also the family part, you know. I feel like I could have done that a bit better. So for me, that helped me a lot after to transition to coaching.
Yeah, so, I mean, his way explains, you know, a lot that you have different things you need to have a successful career. First, definitely you need, as you have Dominic Rebati, early you need the input of what you really need to do, that you have the right coaches at the right time. That's one thing.
Exactly.
Then, of course, how are you going to finance it? Mm-hmm. Because what you really need from 15, 16 is basically almost your private coach with who knows the tour, who knows the game. So it becomes there already. Either you have the federation who supports and can pay or provide for it, or you have to finance it through sponsors, which is a lot of money you need to have the right team around you, to even have a chance to do it. Then, of course, it comes in place. You need to have the experience already internationally in juniors to make the way. Or what's now a little bit better, if you're good in juniors, you go to university and you can still make it, because the transition to become pro, you know, the age of the top 100 is now much higher, older than it was at my time. At my time, many more players could make it with 17, 18, 19 into the top 100 or even top 10 or top 20.
How old were you when you broke pro?
I turned pro when I was 16.
Wow.
And the other part is it's not an easy, I mean, it's, you do what you want to do. It's your passion, yes. But at the beginning, you know, you travel abroad, you spend a lot of time alone. If it's not working out the way you want, it's a lot of losses you have. You know, it's not only going in one direction. Mm-hmm. So, and at the end,
also so many players adding to this, they mention how hard it is if you don't have a sponsor. Traveling is not that glorious, of course, but traveling economy for 12 hours and having to play 1 or 2 days later, it's a toll on your body.
Yeah, but that's everybody is doing that when you're young. It's okay, but even travel economy is expensive to do all year round. And then plus,
but on
for
top
you,
of that,
your coach,
you're like, your back is killing you. And you have to perform.
Also, you buy these tickets last moment. You lose, next day you have to buy a ticket and then go on to the next. You know, it's tough, really tough.
No, it's a lot of sacrifice, and it's as I said, I mean, it's you need maybe, I would say, if you really want to do it really professionally, you need probably 200,000 a year.
Definitely. I have a good friend, Talon Griekspoor. he's top 50. And we started actually at the same time in Antalya with the Futures. But he had the same coach for so many years, Christoph Fliegen.
Mm-hmm.
He's an unbelievable guy as well. And I've seen them from beginning until now. They separated, but last year, I think. But I've seen them from when they started together and till they broke top 50. I mean, it's unbelievable journey, you know, how much that they like went through together. But again, like, it's good to have that support, what he has in the Dutch Federation or also his parents, you know, they really believed in it. So it takes so many years to get through it, you know. For him also was not easy to have the coach. And then you have, let's say you started at Antalya to get, you have to really, I think, pass through the Futures really quick.
No, that's true.
Or else you get stuck there, you know, like it's tough to get out.
No.
And then he pushed like 2 years in the Challengers. It took him 2 years. And then now it's unbelievable. I mean, it's nice to see, you know, like,
yeah,
but again, the investment, it's so many years.
Investment is huge. And then how many players are coming through?
Yeah.
You know, it's only, let's say, 120 players in the world who can make a living in
it's
the
crazy.
World. So compare it also, maybe compare
to
it.
Other
compare
sports.
It to soccer.
To other sports, it's
a lot of investment.
Not comparable.
A lot of investment, a lot of sacrifice. But in any sport, you have the sacrifice you have to do, and you don't feel it as a young player because it's your passion. But many things have to come together that you can make it. And then not talking about the big talents even have the money, the coaches getting injured. It's a lot of risk too. You never know if you are really come back the same. No matter if the operation is going well or not, it's difficult. Yeah, it's many, you know, would I recommend my son to turn to turn pro? Unless he is an outstanding talent, I would not.
It's too hard.
Same,
right?
Same.
No, it's just, I mean, my oldest son, he was in university, he was playing tennis. He was doing well in juniors, but not outstanding. And then I said, listen, if you want, you can go to university. And then if you're finished and you want to play and try, you can do it. But I would not recommend this, you know, if you, and then he found out himself that he's not there during university because the level is quite high. So now, nowadays, I mean, to 95%, you have to, doing well in juniors, recommend go to university, to the States, ideally, because you have very professional system there. You play a lot of matches. They train very professionally, and you still have time to turn pro with 22.
Right.
So it's a hard decision for, and, you know, I have many parents coming to me. Can you look at my kid? Is how good is he? Can he be a professional? Can he turn pro? It's hard, you know. It's hard to recommend that. Even for the big talents, or, you know, number one in Germany, number top 10 in Europe,
there's still
in juniors,
no guarantee.
It's still
never
a
guarantee.
Huge question mark.
But is there something to wrap it up that we could hope for in the future, maybe from a federation to help out more the talent? And even if you know, we're not... Like, let's exclude the top 100, which they're going to be covered by sponsorship and support.
No.
But what about...
Not about the top 100 when they're there. But
yeah, exactly.
We're talking about behind the beginning.
So how about working on lower levels?
It's very difficult because even, you know, I was in the board of the German Tennis Federation and responsible for the tennis development and all of the juniors and Davis Cup. And German Tennis Federation is the biggest federation in the world, and they have a lot of possibilities. But even you cannot, for example, pay for one player, private coach to travel, everything. It's just impossible.
It's impossible.
Even here, it's difficult. So even here, you need extra money from other sponsors to, let's say, have the program for this individual player as best as possible, as good as possible. So it's very hard.
Yeah.
to even have the chance and to set up the coach, the physio, the surrounding, the practice players, to the travel, to make it ideal for a player.
And the teams are getting bigger now. Before, we used to have a coach, fitness coach, that's it.
And now you have to have it.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's developed. So you really have to do it from age 15, 16, almost as a real tour player, to even have a chance to have the development.
Yeah.
And then you're competing with countries, Eastern countries. For example, they drop school when they're 12, 13 and working as a professional already. You're competing with them. Yeah. What really helped nowadays is that you can do online schooling, things like that. Because if you have to go to normal school,
it's difficult,
and
really difficult.
Practice as a professional junior, almost impossible.
Yeah, but also you cannot take a side job because tennis requires so much time, so much effort.
And you cannot make so much money on a side job to cover the cost. That's impossible. So tennis is a challenging sport to become pro, definitely. And turning it around, we just talked about it prior. A professional coach is also not easy.
No.
Because maybe you can tell a little bit, you know, what the challenges are being a, if you want to be a tour coach, it's also tough.
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, when I turned to coaching, also when I was a player and I had many coaches, but also I tried to understand them when I was a player. And I always used to think, what would I do as a coach in this situation, you know? And that helped me also through the years. But I was lucky enough. I had Sven Groeneveld, one of the amazing coaches. He's been coaching for years with all the top players. I was lucky to be at Nadal Academy, Tony helping us. And Dominic Hrbatý is a good example. Yeah. He's been mentoring me, still mentoring me. So this helped me a lot with coaching. But when I turned coach, I thought it would be easier because I'm not playing, but no, it's all about the player, you know, like it's not about you because I'm not the player anymore. So you have to think about everything from the balls to the practice court, talking to the players to fix a training. You're becoming basically
mental coach.
Mental coaching. And I mean, there are tough days. Usually the players doesn't ask you, oh, how are you? How's everything going? You have to do everything, you know? So it's a tough one. It was really tough the first 2 years. I coached a professional player also in Turkey, and he started off 500. We climbed to 300, but we had other problems than also not just playing tennis. I mean, tennis is the easy part. It's because he's 500. He still has to finance me. He has to book his flights. He has no sponsor. Federation is helping a bit, but sometimes that's the other part we talked prior. And
it's a very difficult part in tennis, to be honest.
Yeah,
because as a coach, you are employed by the player. So if he cannot afford you anymore, or if he thinks, well, you're not good enough as a coach, you know, some players they look for the excuse
exactly
being the wrong coach maybe, then you're out. So what do? You have to look for another player.
By the time you're not working at least coach, 3-4 weeks.
Is the coach that looks for a player, the player that looks at the coach? Is there somebody that manages all of this? How does it work?
Well, there are some agencies now who match them, but still the player has to pay the coach. So sometimes that's where it starts. If you know, players cannot afford every coach, so there's a sacrifice already. And then normally as a coach, you're in age, as you explained, when you turn whatever 30, you try to settle also, but you've been traveling, but maybe you have a family. So what do you do if the player coach says, in 3 weeks, no, you're not my coach anymore. There's no security at all.
Zero.
Zero security.
I think there should be really agency for like coaches, you know, like the ATP or the ITF. I know it's tough, but I mean, it's also not healthy, you know. I mean, I've coached maybe 2-3 players like this touring, and with the last one, we were going actually good, but he just couldn't afford me. And we have a good energy. He's a lefty, I'm a lefty, but and then you cannot show this as well on the court, you know, that, okay, let's say he didn't pay you for a month and then he couldn't pay you for the second month. But still, you have to keep going because you don't want him to drop the energy because that he feels sad that he cannot pay you. You know, it's tough situations.
It's a mess.
It's a mess.
No,
it's difficult.
It's very hard.
You know, it's, I mean.
And then, sorry to interrupt. No. There's another thing what comes into it. Okay, you are employed with a player, even if he's top 100, you know, making good money, you're getting good money from the player as well. But then how honest and hard can you be with the player? Because you have to be scared that he said, listen,
I didn't think about that.
I'm not sick of it.
Yeah.
You're out. Mm. So very few, very few coaches are independent enough to say, okay, I worked with you. I don't need it. Mm. And they have the freedom to tell the player exactly what he needs to tell him. Mm. And even if he's makes him upset.
Mm. That's so important.
So that's a very difficult thing which comes into it.
Mm.
I really feel this was a bit of a sad episode, but is the truth.
No, that's the life.
Yeah, that's the dark side of the coaching as well. Mm. On that note, thank you so much for watching. Thank you, Anil.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.